where we're going to go into our next section of our program. We have two guests. We're still waiting for a call by one of them. But we have Lawrence Edwards on the line, and he's a PhD. He presents Kundalini, Her Symbols of Transformation and Freedom. He has practiced and taught meditation for over 38 years and is the founder of Anamkara Incorporated, a nonprofit organization dedicated to teaching meditative practices. He is also the president of the Kundalini Research Network, and which is kundalininet.org, KundaliNINET.org, a nonprofit organization that provides information on Kundalini and offers international conferences to gather people researching and writing on the transformative processes of Kundalini awakening. His book, The Soul's Journey, Guidance from the Divine Within, describes this process and sets it into context that Westerners can easily understand. If you're interested in his book, The Soul's Journey, that's what the website is, thesoulsjourney.com. So while we have Lawrence Edwards on, we're going to start talking with him, and if our other guest calls, then we'll just put on a piece of music and include that person. Satbir Singh Khalsa is our other guest. So I would like to welcome to In the Spirit Lawrence Edwards. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Barbara Whitfield mentioned that you have a project together with her.
Yes, in fact, the Kundalini Research Network is working on, and we now have scheduled, a conference that's going to be held at the Himalayan Institute in Honesdale, Pennsylvania, on the weekend, the second weekend in May 2010.
It sounds exciting. You know, I'm really glad I was mentioning to Barbara and Charles Whitfield how I'm so happy to have had Kundalini Rising come into my hands, that exploring this book, and I'm exploring what Kundalini really is with all these amazing essays that are written in the book, and you independently sent a copy of your book which I've started to read, and I love it. The Soul's Journey, Guidance from the Divine Within, beautiful. I'm thinking that we should talk about that independently sometime.
It would be a pleasure to do that. You know, the book Kundalini Rising and that compilation of essays, Sounds True, had contacted me a couple of years or more ago to begin the work on suggesting authors, because I was president of the Kundalini Research Network and aware of a number of the prominent voices in this field, including Dr. Satbir Khalsa Singh. He was one of the individuals, a friend of mine, who I suggested be included in this anthology. And they've done a really good job putting together many different perspectives on what is probably it's the yogic term for the most profound and deepest of the esoteric traditions of how do we know, come to know the infinite as our own being, as our own self, and how is that, how does that transformation occur? How does it affect the mind, the body, our experience in everyday life, and all the processes that unfold out of that?
Very good. And just so people may know, we're Satbir Singh Khalsa. He wrote the article, the essay, Kundalini Yoga as Therapy, a Research Perspective, and which is in this book. And he has practiced a yoga lifestyle for over 35 years and is a certified Kundalini Yoga instructor. He's not with us this very minute. Maybe he'll call in a few minutes. But I just want to mention that he is also a highly regarded person who wrote also in this book, Kundalini Rising, Exploring the Energy of Awakening. So tell us about how your journey began with Kundalini, if you would, Doctor.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things, like many people, some experiences that I had even as a child were unusual and out of the ordinary, and kind of gave me that sense that there is much more to life than just meets the eye. And, you know, many children have experiences that we would consider to be mystical experiences, but they're often disregarded, or, you know, the child is patted on the head and said, there, you know, that was just a dream or something like that. But some of those for me stuck, and then much later on, in my young adult life, as I started pursuing yoga and meditation when I was, you know, 18, 19, I met what was then one of the most prominent figures in the world as a Kundalini yoga master, Swami Muktananda. And it was under the guidance and teaching and practices, I went to India, trained to become a monk, that really put me in touch with the depth of understanding that the Eastern traditions have of Kundalini, and how that process unfolds through yoga practices, but also most spontaneously through Kundalini awakening itself.
Thank you. What kind of experience did you have with the process of Kundalini awakening?
Well, when it first started, it was experiences of a dramatic shift in meditation. I had been practicing meditation techniques for a number of years, but when Kundalini began awakening, stirring, you know, these are metaphors for really what is a movement of consciousness, an innate power of consciousness. Well, then meditation became spontaneous, alive, deep, feelings of energy running through the body, mystical visions would start to occur. That's why I wrote that particular essay in the book about coming to understand what's the symbolic nature of what unfolds in many visions that can happen in meditation that can be confusing or disorienting for individuals but need to be understood symbolically.
Yes, thank you. You say symbolically. Is this a certain like archetypes?
Yes, exactly. And part of my training was as a Jungian analyst and in the works of Carl Jung and in the works of Joseph Campbell. And so it meshed very nicely with what I had been training in sort of Western psychological traditions in the depth psychologies with these profound direct experiences that unfold through spontaneous Kundalini yoga.
Well, it seems to me that these symbols and archetypes help us to understand the experience because we can go back and follow what these mean through time and through history and through others' experience. We can more understand the process that we're going through.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why it's important to understand that and then see those common threads that run through Western mystical traditions, Christian mystical traditions, Kabbalistic mystical traditions, Sufi mystical traditions. When you get to that level, then you start to see the unity that underlies all these great spiritual traditions.
Well, this is great. I'm glad we're talking about this. And by the way, if you want to learn more about Lawrence Edwards' work, you can go to his website, you got the kundalininet.org, and then you also have the soulsjourney.com, so those are two. I think we may have Dr. Khalsa on the line, so we're going to put a piece of music on, and we're going to connect him up as well, okay?
Very good.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to also introduce, in this very short time that we have, Satbir Khalsa. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for calling in.
Not a problem.
And we have Lawrence Edwards with us, too.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Hi, Satbir. Good to hear you.
Nice, Lawrence. Nice to see you again. Nice to hear you again.
Yeah, I know you guys know each other. Well, Lawrence has spoken for a little while, so I'd like to give the floor over to you and tell us a little bit about what Kundalini has meant in your life. How did you become aware of it, and how is it active? How are you actively involved in it now?
Well, I came to Kundalini yoga, and my particular brand of Kundalini yoga is that style that has been taught by Yogi Bhajan. It's one of the styles of Kundalini yoga that's probably more popular in the United States. So I started in that lineage back in 1971. And started practicing it fairly regularly, and in 1973, I actually made the decision to move into the community, the ashram that was in Toronto in Canada, and have stayed with the group and the practice to this day.
Well, yeah, this is very wonderful. I've been. I'm aware of Kundalini through Sanatam Kaur and many of the Sikhs that I have on this program who practice Kundalini as a teaching, but also Sanatam, as everybody knows, is a wonderful singer and has made beautiful music along with Guru Ganesha Singh and others, Soperg, her husband now. And so I've been put in touch with them, and I'm glad to hear that that you are, you know Sanatam?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
We're acquainted.
You're acquainted. Okay, good.
And Guru Ganesha is actually a good friend.
Guru Ganesha is a great guy. Good friend of mine, too. I'm learning, and I know when Sanatam does a kirtan, she takes us through some Kundalini practices.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And these practices are similar in some ways to the bulk of Hatha Yoga that's taught across the country, but there are some unique characteristics to Kundalini Yoga that really somewhat distinguish it from the other styles of Hatha Yoga.
And which way?
Well, I would say that there's a large focus on mantra, a large focus on breath, a large focus on integrating those practices together. Although the Kundalini practices incorporate a lot of the standard Hatha Yoga postures, there are some postures that are fairly unique to Kundalini Yoga. And the focus is not as much on the postures as it is on the devotional aspect, on the aspect of really integrating mind, body, and breath together at the same time.
And coupled with the devotion to a guru.
Well, that you have to understand that Yogi Bhajan was both a Sikh master and also a yoga master. And so those of us who became students of his adopted both lifestyles. However, they are both distinct in their own way. There are many people now who are Kundalini Yoga teachers and Kundalini Yoga practitioners who are not Sikhs. And it's certainly possible to be a Sikh without being a Kundalini Yoga practitioner.
Of course.
A lot of the mantras and a lot of the practices have relevance to Sikh practice, but not necessarily, there's not necessarily an exclusiveness between the two. They can be separated.
Could you, and how does, I'd like to, Lawrence, to enter into this conversation. We only got a few minutes left, so I want to make sure we hear. What would you say to Dr. Khalsa about that?
Well, I think I wanted to add that, you know, part of the great contributions that Dr. Khalsa and his colleagues are making is on the research that they're doing on particular practices and their therapeutic applications. In some ways, the work that I'm doing is connected to people around the world who are having spontaneous Kundalini awakenings. And with that, dealing with the kinds of almost eruption of mystical experience and transcendent experiences that occur in their lives, and that can be for any number of reasons, but they have to work to integrate them. One of the things that I see that Dr. Satbir Khalsa Singh is doing is applying a systematic use of particular practices and being able to then study what the outcomes of them are. And that's very beneficial and useful.
Very good. Dr. Singh, what would you like to say to Dr. Edwards?
No, that is my particular mission and focus, is to apply research methodology to the practices of yoga techniques, specifically Kundalini Yoga. Kundalini Yoga actually lends itself very well as a sort of a therapeutic and an agent for psychological and physiological change, because a lot of the practices that Yogi Bhajan taught, he assigned specific attributes to them. So he would say that this particular meditation or this particular breathing meditation or this particular posture has this particular effect on the body or on the mind. It's, for example, it's good for depression or it's good for anxiety. And so a lot of these things can be applied in those circumstances to individuals that might have anxiety or depression, for example. And we can see whether these things do in fact have benefit. And of course, any kind of behavioral practice, particularly yoga practice, that can have benefit in any kind of mental health or physiological condition, I think we're much better off using those kinds of practices than we are using what are a lot of conventional medical practices, which tend to be things like pharmaceuticals and surgery, which can be fairly severe and many of which can have a lot of side effects. And more importantly, may not address the actual underlying cause of the problem.
Very good. It seems like, boy, it would be great if I could devote a whole afternoon to just having everyone who has written essays for Kundalini Rising on, so people could hear all your voices. So it's just so great to hear you after reading these essays and Kundalini Rising, Exploring the Energy of Awakening. And it's very exciting because I think many of us in the Western world, and you have the credentials, your background credentials in the Western world, but yet you have the insight and the work and the research to bring the Western mind into looking at this, shedding some light on this to see if its applications are for everybody and that we need to know about this. And it's a great service you're doing, and I really support you and your work. I'd like to ask you, Dr. Singh, do you have a website?
I don't have a website, but there are web pages on some websites which feature the research. One is the Kundalini Research Institute, of which I'm the research director. And that Kundalini Research Institute represents a lot of the teachings of Yogi Bhajan and Kundalini Yoga. And we do have a website on there that's devoted to research that's got some information on research that's been done with Kundalini Yoga.
Very good. I wrote that down. So anybody that wants to know anything about these guests we've just had on in this hour, you can email me at inthespirit2424@yahoo.com. I'll give you whatever information you need to know. I'll make sure you get. And, of course, this book is now available on Sounds True, Kundalini Rising, Exploring the Energy of Awakening. We've just had four highly renowned authors of the essays in this book. I would like to, with a few minutes we have left, I would like to get some closing remarks from you both. Lawrence Edwards, what would you like to share with our listeners listening in now?
Well, two things. One is, if they'd like to hear many of the authors coming together, that we're going to be having a unique conference on May 14th, Friday evening through Sunday the 16th in 2010. Dr. Singh will be there, myself, Barbara and Charlie Whitfield, who you had on earlier, and many other authors from this book will be at the Kundalini Research Network conference that's going to be held at the Himalayan Institute. And that information is on the kundalininet.org website.
Excellent, excellent. So that this is a great opportunity here. Very good. And also Satbir Singh Khalsa?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about the value of research. Many people practice Kundalini Yoga and gain immediate benefits. And really, the question can be asked, why do we need to do research? If you experience this stuff, you know it's true. You know it's good for you. You know it advances you and moves you forward in an inner way, spiritually and physically and mentally. I'd like to say that the virtue of research is that it validates these practices in a way that makes them amenable to society in a larger scope. And what I'm talking about is really the healthcare system and the education system. Both of those systems require that anything that they incorporate into their systems has been validated scientifically. So I'd like to move from the research, I think, will move us from the grassroots level practice, which is growing and is good, but it will move us into a much more global incorporation of these kinds of practices into our society.
Great. It's all necessary. All your work is necessary. And I'm so appreciative that you've taken the time to be with us today on In the Spirit. Of course, many people will benefit from this radio that we're doing today. And I'm so happy to be able to contribute in that way to it, and also enlighten myself as well in my own spiritual growth in it. And I thank all the people that, including Sounds True, and who have made this possible. And I think this this is a groundbreaking piece of work, and I'm happy to be part of. Thank you, our guest in this. I want to thank all our guests in this whole hour, Barbara Whitfield and Charles Whitfield, Lawrence Edwards and Satbir Singh Khalsa, all for being with us and contributing into this hour of us talking about this amazing topic, Kundalini, all written essays from Kundalini Rising, exploring the essay energy of awakening on Sounds True. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, be well. I hope to talk with you again sometime.
Very good. Look forward to it.
Would be my pleasure.
Thank you.